Since the beginning, when God created the first humans, and since those first humans had children, there have been problems with communication between the generations. Young people are always going to have a different idea about how to do things than their parents do, or their grandparents. They're going to have different priorities and different ideals. Older people will have, or we think we have, more wisdom, more experience, better ideas, better manners, and we will be more invested in our work. Different fashions, hairstyles, tattoos, music, and different notions of church, of youth work, and of social justice have been a reality for my whole life. I think they've been a reality since that very first tattoo was inked thousands of years ago. We took these issues of generational differences of church and of youth work and of social justice and faith with us last week when we traveled to Princeton Seminary, right next door to Princeton University in New Jersey, just over a week ago. One out of our whole log college team of about 15 people, six of us, three adults and three teenagers, attended the Log College Renewal for Youth Ministry Design Lab. A quick reminder, Calvary, especially if you're visiting, as I know we have a lot of guests here today because we have a baptism, Calvary is a part of a group of 12 faith communities from across the nation and from across denominations that are part of a two-year renewal of youth ministry project spearheaded by the Institute of Youth Ministry at Princeton Seminary. And it's called the Log College Grant. Princeton, you may know, had its roots in a college that met with young laborers in a log building in the early 1700s. Thus, the name of the grant, Log College. And the grant money, which we will get in September, comes from the Lilly Foundation, which some of us in the Episcopal Church call the church's one foundation, after the hymn. The Log College team has been working for a year in preparation for this design lab. We joined over 100 adults and teenagers and spent 5 days together learning, listening, worshiping, hearing amazing sermons, being coached by some of the best both youth leaders and business coaches from around the United States. We traded ideas with one another, and we were pushed pretty hard. We had a little bit of fun, but they worked us, because eventually our goal was to be able to present one problem with a solution that we feel affects our young people at Calvary in a 3-minute pitch to our cohort group of over 100 people, to our coaches, to our faculty, and to people who work in youth ministry and in business from Princeton and from New York City. Now, I'm not going to tell you our idea. I'm not going to tell you. Not yet, because our whole group has not yet met, and we have some tweaks, probably, and some changes and additions to make to our idea before we can pitch it to you and to our vestry. And really, the truth is that we learned so many other things while we were there. So many things that are, frankly, more important than our one idea was, because it will undergird everything that we do, the things we learn there and we're reminded of. It will undergird and inform our work, my work, but all of our work in youth ministry at Calvary. We adults were reminded that there are things that only young people can see, and that there are sounds that only young people can hear. This was dramatically illustrated to us in a sermon when our preacher used an app on her iPhone through the microphone on her lectern, playing different tones. If you are anybody who works with hearing, you'll know what I'm talking about. About 4 or 5 different tones, right, Jennifer, that she played. And she asked the congregation to raise their hand when they heard the tones. And the young people raised their hand every time. I raised my hand 0 times. I'll be making an appointment, by the way, to have my hearing checked. You can only say that your ears are stopped up for so long, right? You finally have to admit. We learned that young people are incredibly perceptive, and they have strong and poignant points of view. Older people were invited to stop talking and to deeply listen and to hear what young people are hearing and to look for what the young people are seeing. For doing so makes us a stronger community of faith. Now at Calvary, we're always saying that we're yearning for intergenerational programs and events. The best way to begin to do things intergenerationally is in here. How about find a young person and sit next to them? Or young people, find an older person to sit next to and worship together. Sit at coffee hour together and share a donut, share stories, listen deeply to what is on a young person's mind. Here's what you're probably going to learn. Because I did. You're going to learn a lot about music that you have no idea about, my friends. You're going to learn a lot about the environment. You're going to learn a lot. And about science. You're going to learn a lot about art. And you're going to learn a lot about Calvary. Because they have ideas about Calvary, we learned. They have ideas about social justice, about how we do our prayers, and they have some ideas about church music. They have ideas about Sunday school and the bread we use for communion. They have ideas about what time church should happen and what time it should not happen. It's pretty much this time, right now. We learn that our older teens think a lot about their younger brothers and sisters in Christ here. They deeply care about younger children. And we learned from our younger kids that they look up to these older teens with great admiration. We were reminded that these young people have lots of questions about Jesus, and they want to know what the Bible has to say that has anything to do with their real life situations. We found out that they are unbelievably smart. And we found out that when an older person does something with even one younger person, that is youth ministry. We were reminded that, like all people, young people want to be heard. They want to be valued. They want to know that they are loved, and they want to be respected. They want a place at the table. The young people among us said that their biggest fear is finding themselves in a place where they are not wanted, where they don't have anything valuable to contribute, and where they are not needed. Today, in a few minutes, we are baptizing 3-month-old Ingrid Rose. She's listening really hard to my sermon right now. And once again, as a community of faith, we will be promising to support and uphold a child in her life in Christ. And I know that there is not one person here who would even begin to think that Calvary is a place where any person, young or middle or old, is not valued, is not wanted, that they can't contribute, that they're not needed, and above all, that they are not loved. We heard an interesting story from the Hebrew Bible. I invite you to take your bulletins home with you and read the story. Actually, some of us call him Naaman the Syrian. Read the story of Naaman again. Don't leave your bulletin here today. Take it home. And then get a Bible and look at what happens after, because we don't hear the whole story this morning. But this is such an interesting story, and it's a magnificent illustration of what can happen when a young girl speaks with courage and truth. And it tells us how, when listening to a child, because she's a child, how listening to that led to Naaman's encounter with the prophet Elisha and to his miraculous healing. This young slave girl knew of the great prophet in Israel, and she knew he was a miracle worker. And she says, "Hey, it's too bad my Lord can't go to Israel, because I think there he'll get some help." And he listens, and she is heard, and she is believed by this powerful man who takes her advice to heart, and that advice changes his life. This story, and my experience, and our experience of traveling with teenagers and with working with them the last year on our grant process, have convinced me that the Holy Spirit is blowing strongly and persistently at Calvary for the renewal of not only our youth ministry, but for all ministries. And I know, I confess, and I think you know what I mean when I say that it's way too easy for me or for others of us to stop the voices of young people speaking truth to us with platitudes, or I'm too busy, or with a no but attitude rather than a yes and attitude. And I wonder, is there a voice of a younger person in your life who is trying to get your attention, not for themselves, but to tell you something that might change your life? The story of Naaman and the slave girl and my own experience point to a reality that I truly have become to believe in, that it will be impossible to fully hear and know the word of God without hearing from all generations. I want Calvary to always be a place where younger people can learn from older people, and older people can learn from younger people. And they can learn that in God's world, every one of us is valued, is needed, is wanted, and is deeply, deeply loved. Amen.